of you the Lord's been good to today? How many of you are breathing tonight? How many of you have life and you have it more abundantly? We began a series for the month of March, and we titled the series, Praise Your Way Out. And praise is a powerful weapon that we have in our fight against the enemy. Praise and worship. You have prayer, you have worship, you have praise, you have thanksgiving. And we can throw those four out, and we can confuse the enemy. Sunday night, we confused the enemy. We had a breakdown. We had a praise and worship service. And I'm excited about what God is doing in our lives and in this church and in our community. So tonight, we're going to have our Bible study. We're going to talk about our weapons of praise. We're going to read our Psalms 100 and Psalms 150, are kind of our theme scriptures for this month. It's on the overhead behind. You can read along with me. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. That's a pretty powerful, potent piece of scripture right there. And it's Psalms 100. Memorize it. Put it on your dash. Put it on your refrigerator. When the devil comes at you and begins to take and torment you, just take this out and start quoting it. Because we are the sheep of his pasture. We are his people. I no longer belong to Satan. I am a child of the Almighty God, and I'm going to claim that inheritance of the child as a child of the Almighty God. Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the high sounding cymbals. And everyone says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's praise ye the Lord tonight. Lord, we worship you, God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. You can be seated. We're going to recap Sunday a.m. and p.m. We didn't get all the way through p.m., which is fine. I'm not going to go into the rest of that. But praise is what God has done, or praise is or about God. Worship is who God is, to worship our worship to God. Praise is opening up, and worship is entering in. Praise is declaring boldly, and worship is humbly bowing down in the presence of a holy God. Praise applauds who or what God has done, and worship is honoring God for who he is. And thanksgiving is what God has done for you. Thanksgiving is what God has done for me. I am thankful for my health. I am thankful for a beautiful, loving wife. I am thankful for godly parents. I am thankful for a great place to work. I am thankful for so many things in my life. Praise and thanksgiving, when you couple praise together with thanksgiving, it becomes a verbalized faith. And if you thank God, as I said, after the fact, that's gratitude. But if you thank God before it happens, that's faith. So if you need a job, you say, thank God for the job that I'm about to receive. If you need a healing for your headache, thank God. Thank God for the healing of that headache. As a result of praise and worship, anything can happen. We read on Sunday about Paul and Silas in prison. They begin to pray, and they prayed. And as they begin to pray, their prayer began to break out into praise. And their praise began to break out into worship. And as they began to worship the Almighty God, all heaven was looking down, and all heaven began to look into that prison cell where they were, and all hell was looking up from where it was, and the earth began to shake from the praise and the power and the authority of the Almighty God that was there. And the prison, their shackles fell off, and the prison was open, and they walked out. That's a great example of our own lives when we struggle with things in our lives. We struggle with all kinds of addictions and all kinds of circumstances and problems. It's a good example of just take and begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, don't pray about your problems. Begin to pray about what God is going to do and how God is going to work in your life. And then your prayer breaks out into praise, and you begin to thank Him for what He's doing in your life. And then that praise begins to blow out into full-blown worship of the Almighty God. And the earth shakes. So tonight, if you're in a spirit of oppression is on your life or in your home, you need to praise it out of your home. Some of our homes, some of you have let the enemy get into your home and develop a stronghold in your home and be the man of the home and get in there and begin to pace around your home and begin to worship and begin to praise the Almighty God and worship and praise that spirit of oppression out of your home. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in a constant spirit and a constant down and out attitudes. Prayer moves things. Sunday night we had an awesome service. It began at really 5:20 in here as we began to pray before the service. And the prayer, as the songs begin to be sung and people begin to take and open up, that prayer that started at 5:20 broke out into praise. And we went right into the preaching of the word and got about halfway through, and it was too strong. There was too much of a power of the Holy Ghost in this place, and it blew out into full-blown worship to an Almighty God who is worthy of all of our praise and worship. I can sit up here and preach about it until the cows come home, but we got to do it. We got to practice it. We got to live it. So the Bible tells us that a generation of people shall be created to praise God. And I want to ask you tonight, church, are we part of that generation? Are you part of that generation where you're not afraid to lift your hands and to cry out with your voice and give honor and praise and worship and to a God that is worthy of our praise? You see, you don't have to wait until the battle is over. You don't have to wait until the victories has been done. Whatever God has promised you, He will do exactly what He said He would do. So you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You can praise God. You can worship God. You can shout out right now. Until the rising of the sun, until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. That is why I praise Him. I praise Him because when life's winds begin to blow, He brings peace into my life, and I praise Him for that. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Sister Brown's having a not-so-good day today with some car problems. And I said, Sister Brown, praise your way out. Long after that car's gone, you'll still be praising and thanking God. Long after that car has been recycled into a washing machine, Sister Linda Brown will still be praising and thanking God. Her praise and thanks to God is not predicated upon, I hope, whether or not her car works. But so many times we hinge it all upon what's going on around us and say, God, how am I going to praise you? My car's broke down. God says, what about all the sin that I took away? What about all of the healings that I've done? What about the things that I've done in your life? He promises never to leave me. He promised never to forsake me. He carries my burdens when at times they become too hard for me to bear. And for that, I praise him. When I am in darkness and I'm struggling and I'm frustrated, I praise him. I praise him because he died on Calvary for my sins. My Savior promised to never leave me, never forsake me. And he promised that he would always be by my side. My Savior whispers his promise. That's why I praise him. I praise him. I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep a praise in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, I brought some snacks tonight. I didn't get supper, and I got a lot of notes, so I'm hungry. So if you don't mind, if I just have a snack, you won't mind, will you? You're asking me, what has this got to do with praise? How many of you are allergic to peanut butter? Okay, you don't qualify. Sister, just take one. Just take one. This isn't communion. Just take one. Now I don't have enough time to give everybody one, so we're just going to don't do anything with them yet. Okay? If you've already done some with them, you've already. Go ahead. Like I said, I'm not going to be able to do this for everybody, and I apologize. You can go over to Menards, and you can buy these, and you can test it out for yourself. Trust me, I've gone about halfway through. I've gone better than halfway through the container, and I've yet to be able to do this. Well, we got an object lesson. You okay? All right. We have an object lesson here tonight. And all of those people that took one of those from me, I want you to stand up. We talk about praise and we talk about worship. Okay? I want you to take and I want you to put that in your mouth right now. And I want you to take and try with your hardest to eat the pretzel without tasting the peanut butter, or try to eat the peanut butter without tasting the pretzel. Can you do that? Go ahead, give it a few moments. Okay, you see, you have a pretzel, and in that pretzel is peanut butter. Now, you have two separate ingredients, so you have two distinctively different tastes. But they're both rolled into one nice little snack bite. Has anybody been successful yet? You got to keep it in your mouth. You can't just take it out and break it apart. You got to commit to this. Got to put it in your mouth, Felicia. Okay, so the challenge for you tonight is to eat that pretzel bite without tasting the peanut butter. Or eat the peanut butter without tasting the pretzel. You can go ahead and be seated. You see, the truth is you can't eat one or taste one without the other. If you're going to take and eat a pretzel bite with peanut butter, you're going to get both tastes in your mouth. So when you look at this, when we talk about the difference between praise and worship, we shouldn't automatically assume that praise is exclusively one thing and worship is exclusively another. Just like the peanut, just like the pretzel bite. It's a little bit of both. So when we look at this, when we look at prayer and praise may both contain worship, but by themselves they are different. You have a pretzel and you have peanut butter. Two different things. But prayer and praise coupled together within a package like this, and it's hard to separate the two out. So when you look at this, prayer is the obsession of the soul with its needs. Talking about prayer, prayer and praise may both contain worship, but by themselves they're different. Prayer says, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, give unto me. Help me with the needs that I have. Prayer asks for the things the soul desires, various needs. As Sister Brown shared, they need some mechanic work done. So they have a need there. And some of you have family issues and such and so on. And there's nothing wrong with praying for personal needs and such. Philippians 4:6 tells us it is what he commands us to do. He asks us to bring our petitions to him. And then we go, praise is the obsession of the soul with its blessings. God blesses us. And as God blesses us, as we pray for a need and God helps us and blesses us, then we begin to praise him for those blessings. Praise says, thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. Prayer says, thank you. Or praise says, thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given me. There's nothing wrong with vocal, visible praise. We come in and we have a worship service. We call it a worship service. It may be a worship service, but we may be praising and singing praises unto the Almighty God. You see, praise is like constant motion. If I had to look at praise and I had to look at it, praise is like a, it's like a fast-moving mountain stream. It's full of motion. It's constantly moving. It's constantly busy. It's loud sometimes. There's a lot of action that takes place. It's a posture of constant motion. And then we look at worship, real, pure, deep worship. It's more like the depth of the lake, those calm, deep spots in a lake. If you've ever been out on a lake and you're a fisherman and you find that deep water and it's calm, and there's a depth to it. There's a vast difference between the two, but yet the two are so closely related. So we ask ourselves, how does this relate to us as an individual? How does this relate to us as a church? Well, I think that good church, if you want to have good church should start off with prayer. And we start off with prayer here at 5:20 every service. We have prayer on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. Tonight it was 6:20. So we start off with prayer. And then the music begins to play. It says, praise him on the cymbals and on the drums and on the piano and the organ. Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. And we begin to worship. We begin to praise the Lord. We come in and we begin to sing. We begin to clap. Clap your hands. Some of us stomp our feet. Sometimes we get excited and we begin to run. We begin to jump and we begin to shout. That's like the stream that's fast moving in the mountains. And then we have guests that come in, and it's seemingly it's praise that seems to attract them. But it's the worship, it's the deep, heartfelt worship that really begins to touch the soul. You see, in entering into worship, it's so powerful, it's so anointing, it's so life-moving, and it's life-changing. But we must flow through praise to get to worship. And you see, worship is more like a journey that ends in the throne room of heaven, humbly kneeling before the Lord in reverence, praying, bending our knees, and praise, on the other hand, is often it's like the 100-yard dash. It's wide open. I've been in many, many services that begin in praise and they end in praise. And there's really nothing wrong with that. You can't go in and say, well, that was a bad service. We didn't have much worship there tonight. But we have to be careful sometimes in our services. We have a balance to them. To where that we come in, we enter into his courts with praise. We enter into here with praise on our lips. We have a praise. We thank him for having a great blessed day. We thank him for all that he's done. And as we begin to praise him, our praise takes on a deeper depth. And we can start to feel as the emotion begins to flow into our hearts. And we begin to lift our hands and our tears begin to flow and begin to worship him. Because he is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is majestic. He is awesome. He is powerful. He is holy. You see the difference. A deeper worship, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to develop. And not for sure exactly how to word this. I don't think I have it worded right. Sometimes we just kind of become a slave to our schedule. Say, this is what's on our agenda tonight. We're going to sing the three songs. We're going to do this, this, and this. And we praise God. We just really open up and we begin to just praise him. We thank him, but we never really get into that deep worship, that deep feeling, the deep water that he's desiring to lead us into. Oftentimes, we become too easily satisfied with praise that we do not pursue that depth of worship. We can praise anyone or anything. When we look at praise, I can praise you tonight for doing a great job on something that maybe you've done here at the church. Our worship team or our praise teams, they do a tremendous job. I can sit up here and I can say, I want to thank them. I'm giving them praise. It's so glad to have Sister Felicia Pendleton in her. She's doing such a great job in our Touch Twice clinic, and I can praise her for that. We can give accolades. We can praise her and say, good job, Felicia. So proud of you. You're doing a great job. But you see, we can praise our children for doing a great job on a school project, for getting a good report card. But you see, giving praise to Sister Felicia is not the same as worshiping her. You see, but you can take this and say, you know, you can give praise to a person and not worship them, but you can also give praise to a person and worship them. An example of that is sports idols. We give praise to them. Man, they did a, boy, that Aaron Rodgers, he's such an awesome football player. And we begin to praise him and such, and we start to read and want to find out all about him. And pretty soon our praise goes into idols. We start hanging his posters all over, wearing his shirts, and everything is Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. And we reach into that point to where we've gone kind of past that praise stage, and now he becomes an idol in our life, and we begin to worship this idol. We do that with pop stars and Hollywood and such. You see, you can be a sports fan, but you don't have to be a sports, you don't have to idolize people. You can enjoy a movie. You can enjoy watching a movie, but you don't have to idolize the actors and actresses. There's a big difference there. In our world today, it seems that we're caught up in worshiping superficial things. And if you worship superficial things, your life becomes superficial. It just happens. If you worship perverted things, if you're constantly thinking and worshiping perverted things, your life will become perverted. That's the way it is. You're worshiping, you're giving yourself to that into a much deeper level. If you worship evil things, your life will become evil. But if you worship a true and a holy and an awesome and a powerful God, then if you continue to worship him in spirit and in truth, your life will simply become truly powerful. Because you're worshiping an awesome, powerful God, you will become godly. It will begin to rub off on you. So when you look at praise, and I'm going to be going back and forth with this tonight, kind of like the little object lesson here with the pretzel and the peanut butter. You're going to get both tastes in one bite. So when we look at this, when I look at this, and it's like, what is praise really? What is it? How do I take, and when I look at my life and say, okay, I'm going to take and I'm going to praise God. What is praise? And I like to look at it this way. Praise is really my appraisal of God. Think about that a minute. It really is. Now you may praise him in different ways, but the bottom line is when you praise God, if you praise him wholeheartedly, if you praise him from the very depths of your soul, and you are very excited about your praise, you are giving God a very good appraisal. Just as if you would, your child comes in and for the first time in their life they had a passing grade on their report card. You are going to praise them in an adamant fashion. You're going to be excited for them. You're giving them an appraisal of praise. You're letting them know what you think of them. And so many times when we look at our praise towards God, and I know I'm going to sit here and try to tell you that I'm always in a state of praise and worship, because there are times when, just like you, life gets rough and I have to remind myself. So praise is really your and my appraisal of God. Now, there are various ways that we can praise God. And you say, well, how do we really praise God? Psalm 63:6 says that we can praise God with our voices. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. I want to praise God with my voice. I want to take and I want to use my voice to give honor and praise to my Almighty Father. I want to give honor and praise to an Almighty God. That's who, if I'm going to wear my voice out on anything, it's not going to be at karaoke at some country western bar. I'm going to wear it out preaching the gospel and preaching His praise and preaching about Him. We can also, in Acts 16, 25, we read this scripture, but at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And what did they do? They sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They were singing. They were using their voice. And by using their voice, look what happened. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could just take and use our voice? And because our voice, what happens with that voice as we honor and worship and praise God, that earthquakes, that the earth moves and shakes? It's pretty powerful. We also praise God with our bodies. Boy, in the world today, all sorts of people use your bodies or use their bodies for all sorts of things. It's amazing to me all the various ways that people put all types of ornamentation. I was talking with Brother Carl about this some time ago, and he was talking about all the different types of tattoos and implants and all type of things that people can have put under their skin and such and make themselves, you know, all kinds of things with their bodies. But you know what? I want my body to be a sacrifice unto the Lord. When David danced before the Lord, he did so with all of his might. He danced before the Lord in 1 Chronicles 15:29 and in 2 Samuel 6:14. It was a very public setting. He didn't dance in private. He was out there in public dancing. Psalm 63:4 says, "Thus I will bless you where I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." We come in here sometimes and we don't want to take and lift up our hands and worship and praise the Lord. But He's so worthy. He's so worthy. If we praise Him and worship Him for nothing more than taking away our sins, heaven is an awesome reward. I can go without some things here on earth, but I don't want to go without heaven. I want to be able to lift up my hands. Psalms 95:6, "Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." We can worship Him with music. Praise Him with the loud trumpet. Praise Him with the strings and the harp and the timbrel and the dance. And praise Him with stringed instruments and loud cymbals. We read that scripture tonight. Praise Him. Praise Him in our music. When you play the instruments, to all of our musicians here, when you play them for the glory and the honor and the praise of the Almighty God. Don't play them just so you can take and get accolades from the audience and people can come up and pat you on the back and say, "What an awesome guitar solo." Play that guitar to the glory and the honor of the Almighty God. When you beat on them drums to the glory and the honor of an Almighty God. When you sing and give glory to an Almighty God. We praise God with our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." We need to know that we worship, that we need to know the God that we worship, and we need to be able to take and with our lives, we need to take and we need to go, we're going to go into this a little more, but we need to spend time. When we say we praise Him and worship Him with our lives, what do we spend our time doing? How do we spend our time with Him? We can praise Him and worship Him by reading His Word. Right here. When I pick this up and I begin to read it and I begin to praise Him and worship Him. We can read His Word. John 4:23 says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers." I want to be a worshiper. I want my life to give glory and honor and worship to my God. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. When we look at David and we look how he lived a life, he was a very talented person. And when if you get into study the life of David, he was an incredible young man. As a young man, he was incredible. And as he became king, he was a tremendous, he was just a very talented person. But it was never where he would, it was never, it is a day to worship. David always looked at it and say, every day is a day of worship in my life. I don't just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when I come to church on Wednesday night. I worship him all day Wednesday. And David said, all day, every day, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to have a worship and praise on my lips. Every day is a day of praise and worship, not just the Sabbath. Every day. Every day. You see, David, his demonstration was really, when you we read about him dancing before the ark and dancing in the street of Jerusalem, his outward, his demonstration, outward overflow of demonstration of dancing was really, it was a private fellowship that he had with God. It was something that was on the inside. He wanted to begin to praise his God. He wanted to begin to worship his God. And he began to praise him. He began to worship him, and he couldn't stop, and his feet started moving. His hands started moving. Moving because it was coming from in here. It's something that had culminated over a lifetime. It wasn't just one moment. Praise and worship, when we look at it, praise and worship are really part of the same continuum. Praise and worship is more than what you do. Praise and worship, it is a way of life. We need to have a lifestyle of praise and worship. And when we have a lifestyle of praise and worship, to where that praise and worship is always on our lips, we give the enemy no opportunity. We take away his opportunities to take and harass us and to take and depress us and all of the other things that he tries to do, because as soon as he begins to harass us and nothing but praise comes out of our lips, he flees. He flees. I love Romans 12, 1 and 2, because this pretty well sums it up. It says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to present ourselves as on a daily basis as a living sacrifice unto a holy and almighty God. John 4:23 says, but an hour is coming, and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to be his worshipers. When we worship God, we are ascribing worth to him and proclaiming that he alone is worthy. But you see, worship, it's not always quiet. We've been to prayer meetings before, and you can feel just a real deep move of the Holy Ghost, and you can begin, and you can hear some of the sisters as they begin to pray, and they begin to thank God and begin to worship God. And brother, we think sometimes that we need to sing or dance or clap or speak out loud or whisper or shout. Worship, whatever way you worship, should be reserved exclusively for him and for him alone. Psalms 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship and praise shuts down Satan. And worship and praise give us strength. And worship and praise releases power in our lives. It releases power. How many of you want to have more power in your life? There's power in praise. There's power in worship. It's one of the most potent weapons that we have at our disposal. And so few times we actually utilize it to its fullest potential. I want to bring this all together tonight. When we look at praise and worship, one could argue that praise sets up worship, and that praise is a stage in the total worship experience. So when we look at praise, and it's praise kind of sets it up, but praise is the stage in which worship is played out on. But ultimately, the difference between praise and worship are outweighed by their similarities. It's very difficult. If anything, praise seems to be a subset of our worship. They seem to be just different aspects of the same thing instead of one versus the other, like the pretzel and the peanut butter. Those of you that had the pretzel and the peanut butter tonight will understand and know exactly what I'm talking about here, because you couldn't taste one without tasting the other. True praise is an element. True praise to God is an element of worship, and true worship to God gives praises to God. And in the end, they're part of what we should have as a common goal of just simply drawing closer to the Almighty God. The Old Testament paints a very vivid picture of the stages of worship when it describes the Jewish tabernacle. And we've all, maybe some of you haven't, but the tabernacle is divided into really three distinctive areas. It's divided into the outer court, where that the outer courts are where the people mingled and prepared themselves to worship. This is where praise began to start. That is where the song, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his heart, and enter into his courts with praise," is making reference to, is that outer court where that you would come in and you begin to praise and worship, and you or praise and you would begin to prepare yourselves. And then you would go into the inner court, and this is where the worshiper could meet with the priest and confess the sins and offer up an acceptable sacrifice. And then there's that area of the holiest of holies. This is where the glory and the Shekinah power of the Almighty God dwelt. It was a place that was prohibited from you and I to be able to go into. We could not enter in to the holiest of holies. Only the priest, one time of year, could enter in to that inner sanctuary of divine, deep worship. The power of the Almighty God. There's so much power in His holiness. It's a place where your hands and your feet, sometimes, just because of the awesome presence and power, when you begin to feel that spirit come over you, your hands fall silent, your lips fall silent because you're not worthy to cry out. You can feel that Shekinah glory of God on your life. God says, "I want you to experience that level of worship." When he came and died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in twain in half, and that holiest of holies was opened up for you and I, as if he was saying that what I have kept, that depth of worship that I have kept solely for the priest, I'm going to open it up for all of mankind to experience. As our musicians can come tonight, if we can stand to our feet. You see, out of our heart begins to flow a true worship. It's no longer about action. It's no longer about quantity. It becomes about purity, and it becomes about holiness. I love that song. We're going to have this song at altar call, and I want us tonight to enter into that place of worship. We had our song service, our praise service. Were we able to take and praise Him, worship Him? But I love the songs. It says, take me in to the Holy of Holies. Because it's a great picture of our life, of getting past the distractions of life. Getting past the clutter of the day. Getting past the frustrations of the week. And we enter into that area that is just a pure presence of an Almighty God. When is the last time you've really entered in to that Holy of Holies? Take me past the outer courts into the holy place. Take me past that brazen altar, Lord. I just long to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. Lord, I hunger and I thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me, Lord, into that Holy of Holies. Take me in, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in, Lord, by the mercy seat, Lord. Take me in, Lord. Take the coal, Lord, and touch my lips. Here I am, Lord. I am unworthy. I am unworthy, Lord. I am unworthy of your glory. I am unworthy, Lord. But Lord, even though I am unworthy, God, I give you honor and I give you praise. So tonight, we've talked about praising our way out. Sunday morning, it was a powerful praise. But tonight, can we get into that depth where God can begin to surgically work in our hearts and in our lives?
Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing your praise.
Lord, help us, Lord, to enter in to that Holy of Holies.
But it's only found in one place. Take me past the outer court.
Sing this song.
Into the holy place.